President Trump and President Xi meet in China. Trump plays Mr. Sunshine. Xi rains on the parade. Store owners say you'll rain on our parade if you ban flavored tobacco and vape products in Fargo. And rain is all we have on the parade when it comes to fraud in Minnesota. It never seems to end. Oh, my gosh, you guys. Every day there's some new story there. I hope you are off to a great start here on your day, or maybe your day is just about done. Whatever part of your day this is, thanks for hanging out with me here for a little bit. I'm ready to go. I had two Sandy's Donuts and a Diet Coke here a little bit ago, and so I'm ready to rock and roll. I needed something to get me going today after that Wild game last night. Just a crushing loss. Up 3-1 with about 3 minutes to go, and they lose the game. You can't make it up. And they got two goals in regulation, tied it, and then early in overtime, it was over. Very frustrating if you're a Minnesota Wild fan. So I needed something to get me going here this morning. So I went to sugar and caffeine. Some of you chewed me out for my Monster energy drink. I wouldn't say obsession, but what would I call that? An affinity for. So I'm trying to be good, people. But every once in a while, you need something. I need Howard Klug and Rob Kupek to call me back is what I need. I guess I got to make a second call to try to ask what's going on in the city of Williston. People there are saying city spent way too much money. And Rob Kupek voting for the semi-automatic firearms weapon ban in Minnesota. So we will we'll effort those guests, and we'll keep asking if they'll come on. It drives me crazy when people just ignore you. Like, they just, I don't want to do it. Well, isn't that part of the gig? So we'll keep trying. I don't know that either of them are, like, intentionally dodging me, but, come on, just return the call. That's all we're asking for here. Okay, a lot of ground to cover on the program today. We're going to check in today on this new building. I guess I shouldn't say new anymore. It's almost 2 years old. The Fargo Parks Sports Complex was a very controversial building when it went in, but $100 million facility, the south part of Fargo. And it's not far from my house, so I drive by there quite a bit, and it is always busy. So now that they're almost 2 years in the books and they've kind of gotten done with, you know, winter traveling, hockey, basketball, tournament season, I suppose there are tournaments in the summertime as well, but we're going to find out kind of how the building is doing. Is it the revenue? Is it what they thought it was to kind of help pay for the thing? What's the utilization been? So we'll find out a little bit about that today from Kelly Morth, the director of the Fargo Parks Sports Complex. There's more fraud to talk about. Of course there is. There always is. In not just Minneapolis, but also in California, we're starting to find out that the fraud picture there might make Minnesota look like child's play. So we'll dig into that today. We're going to give you a few of the nuggets from the summit between Xi and Trump today. And then I told you the best thing I heard all day today would likely be something coming from the Rand Paul questioning of the whistleblower on COVID, the origins of COVID. And true enough, it did not disappoint. And then a story that I wanted to get to yesterday, and we ended up with a really good talk about artificial intelligence yesterday. And I appreciate those of you that called, emailed, texted very much, because we're all trying to figure out what to make of it. And we can continue that today if you would like. My contention is that artificial intelligence is a good thing, and it's just the next level of technology advancement. It's just the next chapter in the book. And I feel like AI is being painted as like something that we've never had before. The internet was a more radical transformation than what we see with artificial intelligence, but artificial intelligence has allowed people to be way more productive than any other development in the internet since it kind of gained notoriety starting, what, in the maybe early 90s. And then a number of you said, this is going to be a very bad thing, and we should all stop using it. And I said, that's not reality in the world that I live in. And we are going to have to do our best to control these things, just like, you know, what if we would have, back when the internet came around, we all said, okay, well, this could be used for something bad. But has the internet been mostly good or mostly bad? It's been mostly good. There have been some things that have been warts on the pig, no doubt about that. But overall, would you want to go back to life without the internet? I say no, and I say the same thing with artificial intelligence. It allows me to be extremely, a lot more productive than I ever used to be. Not that I was a slog before, but the number of things you can do them better, and you can do more of them more often with the tools that are available. So I stand by what I said, although I respect all of you who have a different opinion on this thing. And if you want to continue that conversation, we sure can today. Let's get to it with the Morning Wire semi-automatic storylines, giving you a rapid-fire rundown of what's happening in the world around us. We start with the almanac for today. And I can tell you that we will gain today 2 minutes and 30 seconds of daylight today. 8:54 will be sunset. I played golf last night, and I golfed until about 9. It was great. It was a little dark at the end, a little hard to see. But we were okay. By the time we get to the end of the week, it will be sunset at 9 o'clock or later. So we're going in the right direction. In the markets today, everything is up. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 296. S&P 500 up 34. NASDAQ up 107. More good earnings reports coming in from the tech sector seems to be boosting everything there. WTI crude oil down $2 from yesterday's showtime. $100.78. Gold today down $11.78 at $4,695. Silver down big today, about 5 percentage points, down $4.50 at $84.86. And Bitcoin today about where it's been, $80,000. What's going on in the news today? Oh, glad you asked, my friend. There's a lot to tell you about here. So we're going to start with the war in Iran, which is really just comments that came from the summit with China. There's nothing really going on as far as new developments over there in the Persian Gulf. But Xi and Trump both made public statements saying the Strait of Hormuz must remain open and that Iran can never have a nuclear weapon. A ship there has been taken by unknown parties off the UAE coast near the strait and is headed toward Iranian waters. This according to a British marine agency there. And a Hezbollah drone strike wounded several Israeli civilians yesterday, hours before the U.S. broker talks between Israel and Lebanon were set to begin in Washington. So that's the Israel-Hezbollah conflict there. Meanwhile, President Xi Jinping of China took some air out of the festive balloon this morning during the summit with President Trump. Amid all the pleasantries and happy talk, Xi warned President Trump that their two countries could clash over Taiwan. There could be a conflict, in his words, if the issue was, quote, not handled properly. CBS News says it's an unusually harsh admonition that stood in contrast to the American leader's praise for his counterpart. The exchange at the summit in Beijing gives you an idea just how far apart Trump and Xi are on some thorny issues, including the war in Iran, trade disputes, and Washington's relations with Taiwan, which is self-ruled, but China is claiming it as part of its territory, and there's some discussion that they could fully take it over militarily in the days ahead. Closer to home, the cities of Fargo and West Fargo are now having the same discussion that Moorhead and Clay County are having, whether to ban flavored tobacco products and vapes. During a Fargo tobacco and nicotine ordinance listening session yesterday, that sounds like a good time, doesn't it? Fargo Public School Superintendent Dr. Corey Steiner said even elementary students are now bringing vape pens to school. Retailers say they have some concerns, though. Valley News Live reports that Deanne Svolison of Petro Travel Plaza said 85% of the people buying products are over the age of 25. Fargo Cass Public Board of Health unanimously approved a measure to ban them in February, but the city commission is tabling the item until after the June election. West Fargo Mayor Bernie Dardis says he'll bring the resolution to his city commission for consideration as well. And a caravan of law enforcement vehicles traveled more than 400 miles across North Dakota yesterday to honor fallen officers, passing every memorial mile marker along Highway 200 before reaching the Red River. It was a two-day tribute organized by North Dakota Peace Officers Association. As the procession passed each marker, the State Emergency Communication Center broadcast each officer's name, badge number, and end-of-watch date. Pretty significant there. Pretty emotional stuff. When we come back on the program, story of the day, why is Taiwan such a big deal? We'll talk about that coming up next. When you've been doing business in a community for more than 30 years, that means you've been doing a lot of things right. So it is with Heritage Homes, local home builder, more than 30 years in Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo. And they've got a couple of big things going on right now. And to talk about it, Troy Mattern, VP of Heritage Homes, joins us. Hey, Troy, you guys are busy these days.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, we just wrapped up the Spring Parade of Homes out in Horace in our new community, Sunset Valley, and then the ranch at Sunset Valley, and a lot of success going on. On the ranch side of things, our 55-plus community is moving. We got the clubhouse done. The pool is going in here next week. We got the pickleball courts moving. Our two models are done. This community has 56 homes, and we're already down to 46. So if you're looking to right size and get into that main floor living, that community living, the time is now.
So you've had these great developments going on there, and you've been talking about the Sunset Valley community and, you know, all that carefree living there, good connection in the area. But you're not just building certain things and kind of like that planned development. You'll kind of go here and there wherever you need to build a home, right?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, obviously Sunset Valley is a big part of what we do, but we build all over the metro area. Really, Sunset Valley is about 50% of our portfolio. So, yeah, if the thing with the Fargo-Moorhead area right now, pre-diversion, there's not a lot of lots left. So, but yeah, we definitely build across, you know, all areas. We go within an hour out of town. We do a lot in the Lakes Country. And the cool thing about Heritage is we build a home that's a one of a kind home to you. There's no home that we repeat the same. So if you're looking for that unique one of a kind home anywhere in the metro area, the Lakes area, anywhere within the hour range of Fargo, Heritage Homes is your builder.
What if I want a really spiffy kitchen or something with, you know, natural elements? I want some unique architecture, some really custom stuff. Do you guys do that?
Yeah, absolutely. And the nice thing about being in the amount of the library of homes that we have on file to showcase, you know, to the homeowners, all the great things that homeowners have done. But even more importantly, we have five brand new models that are open 5 days a week, noon to five, out in Sunset Valley. So you can come into our homes firsthand and see all the cool things, all the modern things we're doing in our homes. And really, a lot of our models are derivatives of what homeowners have wanted. So there's so many opportunities just to come in, and you can do a kitchen in one house, but maybe you're going to do the primary bedroom from another house. We can mix and match and make that one-of-a-kind home fit your needs. So, and I think that's what's cool about Heritage Homes is, like I said, you can build that one-of-a-kind home that meets the needs of you and your family.
Interesting stuff. If people want to talk to you, Troy, and find out more about their specific situation, maybe they've got something unique going on, certain lot somewhere that they've got, want to talk to you about what you guys could do there, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, a couple different ways. The best thing is to go to our website, heritagefargo.com, or like I said, you got our models are open noon to 5, Monday through Friday, and then we're also open Sundays 1 to 4:30. Like I said, we got five brand new models on display. Come through and explore it. And not only that, if you don't want to go through the six-month building process, we actually have a handful of move-in readies that are going to be a couple that are completed now, but a couple that will be completed here by time school starts. So if you're looking for that new home before school starts, come see what we got. And again, heritagefargo.com has all that on there.
Heritagefargo.com is the website. Make sure you check it all out. Troy, thanks for the visit. Have a good day.
You bet, Steve. Thanks.
Have Take a good care. Day. You bet. See you. Troy Mattern, VP at Heritage Homes, heritagefargo.com. All right. Why is Taiwan such a big deal? Well, it's more than just making sure that China doesn't start taking over countries for no apparent reason. It's a tech play like nothing else in the world. And because of this, those who know President Trump best and who have listened to him talk about Taiwan and have watched him work with people from Taiwan and China, they say Trump isn't going to budge on Taiwan. He's not going to give an inch as far as giving any sort of implied permission for China to go in and do a full takeover of Taiwan. They are a big trading partner for the United States. They also, if you just take a look geographically, they're the first layer of island chain defense, that perimeter between the U.S. and Asia as well. But the biggest thing here is the business side of it. Taiwan produces 60% of the semiconductor chips that are used anywhere and everywhere in the world. 60% of the world's semiconductors. All of these products that we have, you're everywhere from your phone to your in-home, your in-house technology, all of the artificial intelligence devices and CPUs and all of those things are running on semiconductor chips. So more than half of that's coming from Taiwan. And it, when you take a look at some of the specialized AI chip production for the data centers and so forth, 90% of those chips are coming through Taiwan. So the tech sector over there accounts for 20% of its gross domestic product. So there's a lot going on there. And they supply most of the big firms in the world with everything that they need to there. There are a number of different companies over there, but the biggie is the Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, TSMC. They trade on the U.S. stock market there. And that sector will create about $200 billion in revenue for that country. So this is a really big deal here. So why is Taiwan such a big deal? Well, anything that you're talking about with this next chapter of intelligence across the world, you're talking about a lot of it coming through Taiwan. So there's a big debate going on right now in political circles about, is China going to feel like, since the U.S. has gone in and basically taken out the leadership over in Venezuela, and now is getting involved and going into, if you will, going into Iran, will that embolden China to say, okay, well, if you guys are doing that, we can do that too. And then the counter to that, of course, is that we're talking about people that have been a huge problem, and by taking out these people, we're making the world better. Clearly, Taiwan is a different deal altogether. But depending on your level of Trump derangement syndrome, you don't really care about any of that. You just say, well, Trump is giving permission for China to go in and do this because he's going in everywhere else in the world. So this is what happens in political circles. I don't know that I want to spend a lot of time in D.C. these days. There's just a lot of that, the sort of the TDS-based conversation going on there. So that is why Taiwan is such a big story. And there's a lot of data on this. There's some really good articles. I read a good one from TheGuardian.com talking about how that industry is booming. But that's why Taiwan seems to be a big deal. And that's, I think, why Xi mentioned something about it today, basically saying, hey, if we want to do something with Taiwan, leave us alone. So there you go. All right, let's go to the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Grant wants to weigh in on the conversation today. Good morning, Grant.
Hey, Steve. Bill O'Reilly's book, I think it's The Rise of Evil or Killing Evil. You know, he's got all these books. But he goes through these leaders, and Mao was one of them in China. And when they were fighting and killing everybody in the countryside, the leadership that Mao kicked out, they fled to Taiwan, and they took vast amounts of gold with them to Taiwan when they were leaving. So there is a big play of trying to get back what China was raping, killing, and pillaging back in the day under Mao, and that's why you have the current status of communism China.
Yeah. Thanks for that, Grant. Good stuff there. An interesting point. I had not remembered that. I knew the leaders in Taiwan at the time came from China. Didn't know there was an economic piece of that as well. Thanks much. All right, when we come back, we're talking about the Fargo Park Sports Center. That's next. Roe and Joe Junk Haul and Removal is your only real option in this community to get the job done right when it comes to getting that pile of junk out of your life. Whether it's your home, your farm, your business, whatever the case might be, if you've got a bunch of junk that needs to go, there's nobody better than my friend John Minton and the team at Roe and Joe Junk Haul and Removal. John's a 30-year combat vet, and anybody who's done that work for a living knows how to get the job done and do it well. And John's right here in the community. They live here, they work here, they support the nonprofits and the causes in this community. So keep your money local. Don't trust those 1-800 out-of-town people. They don't know how we do things here, but John and his team certainly do. Row & Joe Junk Haul and Removal. Go to rowandjoejunk.com. That's rowenjojunk.com. When it's got to go, call Row & Joe. We are pleased to be joined here in the Drive with Vision studio by our next guest coming on the program right now, Kelly Mork. She's the director of the Fargo Parks Sports Complex. I get to drive by that wonderful facility in the south side of town every so often because I live close by, and it seems like there is always a full parking lot there. A lot of people are going in, coming out, kind of all parts of the day, and I thought, you know, here we are about 2 years into the life of this new building. I said, I think it'd be a good time to check in with Callie and find out what's been going on down there. So we're thankful to have her on the program today. Hi, Callie. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you today, Steve?
Doing great. So tell me about how the building is doing. It's been, I think it was June of 2024 that we had the groundbreaking, so a couple of years into it. What strikes you about how the building has been a part of this community here for these couple of years?
I think you're correct. We are coming up on our two-year anniversary here in early June for phase one. If you recall, we actually opened the building in two different phases. So half the building opened in June of 24, and then the other half opened in January of 25. So that the full building is actually just coming up on about 15 months of being open. And it's definitely been a very fun adventure for our entire staff, learning the personality of the building, kind of where people are using the facility and for what purposes. And in some cases, it's very similar to what we sort of expected going into it. And in other cases, it was a bit of surprise. So it's been very exciting for our team at the Park District to kind of learn all of those nuances of the facility. But I think it's safe to say that the entire community is hopefully finding a way to call us home because we are busy.
Well, I can tell you that for firsthand experience for sure. You mentioned that there was a lot of things that you expected to happen, and you know, many of those have come forward, but there have been some surprises as well. Tell us about that.
Yes. I mean, going into it, we were always very intentional, the design team, of trying to find ways that the whole community could call the facility home, whether they are the traditional sports users like volleyball, basketball, soccer, hockey, pickleball, the ones we knew right away. But we also wanted to be home for people that are maybe non-traditional sports users. We've had taekwondo events here. We've had gymnastics here. We've had an RC Flyers drone event out here. So kind of those more non-traditional ways of using sports lacrosse, which I don't know that a lot of people in the community realize is such a big sport for this area. It's definitely growing, and we've definitely hopefully seen their numbers grow just by having a space for them to play too. But then also just non-sports in general. We have art programming out here. We have a lot of senior programming that takes place in the facility. And so it's, again, been fun to see the different ways people are finding to utilize the spaces. I think probably one of the biggest surprises for me is outside of just the user groups, the number of people that are trying to take advantage of our open play times that we offer. So if we don't have the space rented and we have big chunks of time available, we open the doors for the general public just to come in and pay a small admission fee. They don't have to be a part of a user group. They don't have to be a part of a league or a program. It just gives them the opportunity to come in and use the space. And in 2025, we had over 26,000 people that came in just for one of those open play sessions. So just to shoot around on the basketball courts or bump a volleyball around or throw a baseball on the turf. We had over 26,000 people come in the doors for just that purpose.
Yeah, and I've actually done that with my family, too. We came in over Christmas, I think, a couple of years ago, or a couple of Christmases ago, and shot baskets. I think it was $5 a person. There was five of us or whatever. And so for $25, we got worn out pretty good and enjoyed the building. So I know that that's something that a lot of people have said, hey, that's a pretty good use of $5. I can get my kids tired out for a whole afternoon over there. But I know that, you know, when this whole thing came around, there were a lot of people that said, okay, if it's our tax money that's going toward building this, it seems like we should get something out of it as well. Do you feel like the sports complex has given something for free, or you know, access to programs that people haven't had to pay for, or maybe some you know, less fortunate in our community? How has the building given back, do you think, to the community?
I think in a few different ways. That's a great question. I think probably first and foremost, the way that we've given back to the community is our indoor track is free. And that is something that we have committed to the public as a way for people to get out and get some exercise during maybe the not so warm weather months that we have here in the building or in the community. And that was when we did our needs assessment study back in 2016 about what should be, what types of spaces should be in this facility. The indoor track walking space is the number one identified need. And that's where it really came into our commitment of keeping that free, no matter who it was could come in and use that space without a cost. And then we kind of have the stair-stepped access levels with the five, you mentioned the $5 for the open play admission, which again, you don't have to be a part of a group to do that. You can just decide with your friends or your family members that day, we want to get some exercise in and come out. We also offer punch cards for future reference for you and your family. If you're frequent flyers, it's basically, you buy a 10-punch punch card, and your 10th punch is free. And that works for all of our open play spaces. So it's very versatile. If you're, you know, you want to do track one or turf one day and volleyball the next and hit the playground the next day, that one punch card will work for all of those different spaces. But even people that don't necessarily come out to the building on a regular basis, I think they're still seeing that impact in the community. Since January 1st, we've hosted 32 special events or tournaments out in the facility, and a lot of those bring people in from out of town to participate. And when they're here, they're eating in our restaurants, they're shopping in our retail stores, they're visiting one of our many attractions, and those dollars, when they leave, stay in the community. And so even people that maybe don't get out here on a regular basis, I think they're still feeling that impact, even if they don't realize it, because a lot of those restaurants and retail spaces, the reason they can exist is because of some of those outside dollars coming in.
Kelly, do you have any, have you been able to kind of estimate or do any headcounts on how many people have used any of those free services there, like the walking track you talked about? Any idea how many people, say, in a year will do that?
Yes. I don't have the aggregate number right in front of me of how many people utilize the track in 2025, but what I can tell you is that on average on the walking track for the whole year of 2025, we were seeing about 140 people per day on the track. Now, if you take out all those nice weather months, you know, kind of that April through October when people are going to squeeze every last ounce of being outside that they can, if we take those out and just kind of focus on really, okay, people are stuck inside for kind of that November through March timeframe, that number went up to 200 per day in 2025. So far in 2026, that actually skyrocketed up to not quite 280 people per day are coming in and using that free amenity of the indoor track.
All right. A lot of conversation also took place when the location was announced, and people on the north side of Fargo said, well, gosh, you know, this is, you know, 10 miles from my house, maybe. Have you been able to gather how many people have come from different parts of Fargo to be part of this or use something there?
You know, that's not something that we have actively tracked thus far. I think it'd be a great study for us to do. I think the park district as a whole, we try to be cognizant of where our different spaces are located throughout the community. We're actually in the middle of a park system master plan as an organization to kind of identify, again, Fargo's sort of unique in that we are so stretched out. So we take up 50 square miles, but those 50 square miles are in a big rectangle. And so really identifying what spaces are available in each of the parts of the community and what are things that we maybe need to introduce that are slightly lower on different ones. I mean, I think we'd love as a district to be able to put something everywhere of every type. But we also want to be cognizant of the taxpayer dollars and the investments and be cognizant and very intentional about where those are going. And so we're hopeful that people on the north side are still able to come down and visit us, just like people on the south side head up to the North Softball Complex that's on the north side to participate in activities out there. But that's not something we have actively tracked thus far.
Gotcha. Is there, have you been able to gather, let's say the building costs, I don't know, $50,000 a month to run. How much of that mm-hmm. comes from user fees? So can you say, like, people that come in that use the building, they pay 80% of the budget every month. Do you know what those numbers look like?
I don't know if I have the actual percentages, but that's where we try to find that balance of having the operational cost. This is a big building. It costs money to build, but it also costs significant dollars to operate. And that's where we try to find that balance of not creating barriers for the general public to be able to come in, where our admission fees at $5 is so high that it kind of costs them out of being able to participate, versus understanding we also have operational costs that we don't want to fully put on the taxpayers either. And so we try to find that balance of what can it look like. And then for the low-income families, that maybe even $5 is a pretty significant investment to come out here, we do offer scholarships for punch cards that people can apply for. So even if they maybe that $5 isn't something that's feasible, they still can find a way to have access to the facility.
Yeah. Well, Kelly, I appreciate you joining me. I know it's busy, and I know that the people that use it absolutely love it. I'm one of those people, and it has been a really great thing. In the middle of January, it's 100 below. You can go and get some exercise and move around, and I'm not the only one. Thanks for taking the time, Kelly. We appreciate it very much.
Yep, not a problem. You have a great day. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Take care. Kelly Morick, director of the Fargo Park Sports Complex, on the Steve Holstrom Show, back after this. Our guests on the program are brought to you by the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness has recently expanded. They can get you in quickly for whatever your needs are. Mental health, physical health, they do it all. They have mental health counselors, nurse practitioners, physical therapists, occupational therapists, they do it all. Go to valleychristian.co and you can book an appointment and find out more about them there. And I'm coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com, Vision Ford, Lincoln, and Wappen. And I was driving into work today, and right in front of me was one of those beautiful new Lincoln Aviators. The Navigator is a full-size SUV, and the Aviator is the midsize. And such a beautiful car, and I looked, there's no plates on it because it's new, but they have the dealer plates, you know. And then in the back, you see that, you know, they've applied for their license plates. And sure enough, Vision Lincoln in Wapiton on that sign, on that dealer's plate there. And I see them more and more all the time. People love those cars, and they ride like a Mercedes or a BMW or a high-end import. And they're not free, don't get me wrong, but for the money that you pay, what you get is absolutely fantastic. I'm finding that with the vehicle that I have right now, and you're going to love it. So check out those Lincolns. You're seeing a lot of them. There's a reason. They're fantastic cars, and for the money, you get a ton. So check them out at drivewithvision.com, drivewithvision.com. 51 past the hour. There was a press conference held yesterday in D.C., over at the Capitol building. And this was put on by CMS, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid. Dr. Mehmet Oz was the one running it. And he talked about their investigations into some of the fraud now that they are uncovering in California. And, of course, around here, a lot's been made of what happened in Minnesota. And they're saying, you know, there could be as much as, you know, $20 billion in fraud or whatever. They are finding stories like this left and right in California. And Oz said in this press conference yesterday that we believe that at least half of the hospices in the entire L.A. metro area are fraudulent.
So, Dr. Oz, I want to make sure I understand this well. So you're saying that we kicked off 800 fraudulent health care providers off of the Medicare system, and not a single one of them called the government and said, hey, you made a mistake.
We've had a handful of calls. We're not sure they're legitimate yet, but it's less than 20 out of 800, and we're auditing them.
Unbelievable. So at least 780 are not even trying to claim that they're not fraudulent. And again, those are businesses that we were giving hundreds of millions, in some cases billions of dollars to, not to provide services, but to make a fraudster rich. It's just completely insane.
Yeah, that was J.D. Vance saying to Oz, okay, wait a minute. We've announced that there are 800 of these hospices who we have suspended the license for. And last year, they charged the federal taxpayers $1.4 billion, and nobody turned them in. Like, nobody said anything about this. I have said this before. I'll say it again just because I think it's important enough to talk about this on a regular basis, and I will beat this dead horse. I will. But what we're finding is there has been a culture within governments, where there's big money, of not affecting everyone. Now, I'm not saying that at all. But there's definitely a culture there. Wherever there is big money with big government, there is fraud in some way. I believe that when we get to the bottom of what happens in Minneapolis, and maybe what we'll find in Los Angeles, I told you about the school fraud out there not long ago, that it's going to be a deal where when we get to the bottom of it finally for good, we're going to realize that there was fraud in every part of government where there was money moving through. Because all of these programs to quote-unquote help people require there to be a significant amount of oversight and monitoring what's happening there. And that just wasn't happening. And what an easy way to take care of your friends or look the other way for people of a certain group that we wanted to show favoritism for. We saw that in the Twin Cities with Ilhan Omar's district, that you've got Keith Ellison completely compromised on this, saying, yeah, you know what, we'll look the other way on this. And this is why I get nervous about even something which seems as innocent as paying for kids' school meals in North Dakota. You're going to have tens of millions of dollars that will be unused. We know that. We don't have to guess how this is going to go. We know that will happen based on the money that will be allocated if this petition gets signed into law in November. And we'll have all this money sitting around for this program. You can't do anything with it. Well, there's maybe not as much opportunity for fraud as there is on Medicare or hospice. But when you have got big piles of money sitting around, the devious folks will find a way to dig their hands in there. We need to keep government lean and mean. Hour two of the program coming up next. Hour number two of the Steve Hallstrom Show is brought to you today by Midwest Wealth in Watford City. Matt Schultz and his team out there make things easy. In the heart of the Bakken, life is always interesting, but complexity should not be part of your financial future. At Midwest Wealth in Watford City, they believe in making the complicated things simple. With more than 100 years of combined experience, Matt and his team create custom retirement and estate plans designed uniquely for you. Whatever phase of life you're in, lean on a century of expertise. Midwest Wealth, Matt Schultz in Watford City, building your retirement on your terms. Online at RaymondJames.com/Midwest Wealth. From the text line here today, Steve, I am concerned about mobile phone voting. Representative Utley of Minnesota, a Republican, is supporting this. Might be meaning Paul Utke in Crookston there. I emailed him this morning to find out, and there are a few other Republicans and Democrats pushing this. It could end in upcoming reconciliation bills in the next 4 or 5 days. This has not been through any open meetings anywhere. Folks in Minnesota need to know that this could be in the upcoming bill by simply adding it to the bill. All right, we'll have to look into that. I've not heard about mobile phone voting. So thanks for tipping me off on that one. And Steve, doctors and lawyers in Congress are 99% of the problem. Well, you might be onto something there, too. Thanks for those texts. Keep them going. You can email us as well, studio@flagfamily.com, studio@flagfamily.com. You can also call or email today, 701-271-1100. I see I've got a couple more text messages about artificial intelligence, and we'll climb back up on that horse here in a little bit as well to discuss this one. So thanks for that conversation. And many others to come, no doubt, here on the second hour of the program. Let's get to the key three. These are what I believe to be the three most consequential stories in the news cycle today. Maybe not everybody's top stories, but they are mine. I think these are stories that rise above the level of the traditional garden variety news story you might be seeing or hearing about today. Stories that definitely pass the so what test, that have a real impact on us and who we are and how we live, work, and play in our part of the world. I get my first story today from Alpha News. The owner of a Minneapolis-based grocery store has been charged in connection to a $1.1 million scheme to defraud the SNAP program. SNAP is the federally funded food stamps program for low-income individuals, and EBT, Electronic Benefits Transfer, is the electronic system that allows recipients to pay for food using their SNAP benefits. Well, representatives from Walmart's investigations team contacted authorities when they learned that a small group of people were making big purchases of energy drinks and baby formula using EBT cards that did not belong to them. The BCA agents tracked the fraud back to, I'm not even be able to do this, Abdidawad Shaleh Mohammed, the owner of Minnesota Food Grocery in Minneapolis. And so now charges have been filed against Mr. Mohammed. And this is part of $1.1 million worth of fraud. He was a big part of this $1.1 million going on there. I don't know that I have a lot else to say about this, other than I think it's great that Mr. Mohammed is facing charges. But I want to know who empowered him to do this, enabled him to do this, gave him the roadmap to do this, and were any of those people government officials? If they were congressional officials that kind of said to somebody, a ringleader within a district, hey, just so you know, here's a way you can do this, 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 that, whatever. Or if there was someone in Minnesota who allowed it to happen, knew it was happening, provided the tools to make it happen, whatever. Until we see somebody let out in handcuffs that we know and that we recognize, we say, oh, they're arresting them? Just like they did to our president? This will keep going. And there will be another fraud program later because someone's always going to take the chance to do it. But we need to shock our country in some way to say, so-and-so is being arrested. And I say let out in handcuffs. That's maybe more figurative than anything else. But I want a mugshot. I want to see charges filed against so-and-so. Because what we are looking at in Minnesota, my word. And yes, it's Minnesota, but really a lot of this is federal money. So you and I could be living in Tupelo, Mississippi. It doesn't matter. It's our money that's going into Minnesota and then going into somebody's Lamborghini or out the door in a suitcase headed overseas. So I'm glad to see these things happening, but in many cases I read this story, I say, well, okay, that's good. Maybe within Mr. Muhammad's community, they will see this and go, oh, yeah, we don't want that to happen again. But we have to have punishment. There's been a lot of things that have been sort of dismissed. Oh, that's okay. You just go, and once you get back what you got in your wallet right now, we'll be fine. But there needs to be something that smacks us upside the head, makes us say, wow, or this is going to just keep happening. There has to be deterrence to any crime situation. So that's story number one here for me. Story number one, Vice President J.D. Vance held a press conference yesterday to outline what they have found. He is the new fraud czar, you know. And this was about 2 months ago that they put together this task force to eliminate fraud. And Vice President Vance is the person who is running it. This is good, a very good thing when we have the second highest official in the country in charge of this program. It's different than him saying, hey, Bob Wisniewski from Schenectady, New York, why don't you run this? When J.D. Vance is running it, this is a very good thing. So Vance put out a press release and got turned into a social media statement that I'm reading from. And he said this: it's been almost 2 months since President Trump took the bold step of officially forming the task force to eliminate fraud. We've already uncovered tens of billions of dollars in defrauded taxpayer money, prosecuted dozens of fraudsters, and stopped billions of dollars in suspicious payments, and we're just getting started. We've taken a new approach to this, and that might answer the question, why is it taking the federal government until now to finally tackle fraud? Until President Trump's inauguration, federal anti-fraud efforts were defined by a pay-and-chase approach. Federal agencies like Health and Human Services issue payments, and then, only then, take steps to identify fraud on the back end. The federal government might prosecute the alleged fraudsters, but only if the fraud is big enough. It's a flawed approach that's predictably exploited. Every year, the U.S. loses about $250 billion to fraud, but recovers only about $10 billion. Plain and simple, pay and chase does not stop fraud. Our new approach starts with close coordination. We are orchestrating all federal agencies' anti-fraud efforts from the White House. Rather than haphazard fraud mitigation, the task force is focusing on agencies' efforts on targeting programs where spending is high but anti-fraud protections are low. We're already uncovering major fraud scandals across a range of federal programs. Kelly Loeffler, small business, has referred $22 billion in fraudulent loans for collection. Linda McMahon, education, has identified $1 billion in fraudulent student loans from Go students. Brooke Rollins, Ag Department, has identified 14,000 luxury car owners receiving SNAP benefits in just one state. We are ramping up federal prosecutions against fraudsters, not just because American taxpayers deserve justice, but because active enforcement holds fraudsters accountable and deters fraud in the first place. Our message is simple: no fraud is too big or too small to prosecute. If you are defrauding the American taxpayer, we will find you and take you to court. Okay, so that's kind of the, and he has a few other things in his statement as well about some kind of new programs they're doing in Minneapolis, for instance, and in Medicare fraud in Los Angeles. But they're vetting people ahead of time to get the money instead of what he says is pay and chase. I would say this: it's easy to forget about these things when we're talking about Iran and Venezuela and interest rates and all of that. But let's just never forget the fact that this administration and this White House is going after theft of your money and mine and all of us, like no other administration ever has. Certainly you weren't seeing that in the Biden administration, Obama, even Trump 1.0. They are going after this, and it's a messy, dirty, complicated, ugly, complicated, and complex job, but they're doing it. And thank goodness somebody came along. If Kamala Harris was our president right now, do you think that we would be looking into any of this? I doubt that. All right, I got one more to get to. We'll do that when we come back. This is about retail sales. Americans, we just love to buy stuff. We say we don't like how things are going, but we keep on buying. What do we believe? That's next. The auction is underway now at the Big Deals page on AM1100TheFlag.com. A one-week stay at a two-bedroom cabin at Coles Resort near Bemidji. Take a break this summer. Get away. Beautiful part of the world, and this is a gorgeous resort there. Full of activities, amenities for guests of all ages. The auction ends at 5 o'clock today. You go to AM1100TheFlag.com, click on the Big Deals tab, and it'll bring you right to the auction page right there, and you can bid on it. It's a $2,200 value. And let's see, what's the winning bid right now? Let me refresh here. $700 for a week's stay in a two-bedroom cabin. Come on now. So we're well under half price on this thing. And even at $2,200, think about that. You know, six nights, a $350 a night, whatever that comes to. That's a bargain for Lake Life. And you get it right now for $700. That's the winning bid. If you put it in, you would be the winner. This goes until 5 o'clock today, so make sure that you check that out and bid on that. That could be a lot of fun there. Okay, so finishing the key three here from a segment ago, retail sales is an interesting concept these days. And I'm reading from a couple of different reports to put this together here. Reuters has probably the best summary here. Retail sales increased 4.9% year over year in April. For the month, it was a 0.5% jump. So either way, no matter how you look at it, this was a significant increase in Americans' spending. We like to buy stuff in this country, no doubt about that. Now, this does not include your gas station purchases. This is retail sales that we're talking about here. So you have in our country right now this interesting dichotomy, because on one hand, when people interview or poll people on their feelings about the economy and how they're doing, they do not like it. They say there are problems, and a lot of this is gas prices. Now, Americans decide their economic mood on gas and groceries. Businesses decide their economic mood on interest rates. This is the Steve Hallstrom theory of economics, but I'm really just kind of reading the pages of life here on this one. There is an interesting comment then that's made on the Zero Hedge website here, and that is the record low consumer sentiment, and they take a look at how the people feel about things. That is at a 5-year low. Meanwhile, spending continues to increase, and the divergence you see in our chart is crazy. And the comment being made is, Americans are saying one thing and doing another. We all say that we're sick of paying too much money for things, and we're not going to shop, and we're not going to spend, and we're going to cut back on luxuries. Yet when it comes down to it, retail sales, which are more than just buying your gas and groceries, are telling us that Americans are not done shopping yet. So I did a search on, you know, what some of the commentary is online about this today. Why is it that we continue to spend when we say we're uncertain about our economic future as a whole? Three things came up. Number one, people say, well, remember that the people that have money right now have a lot of money. There's never been a better time to have a lot of money, because you can invest in certain things that seem like they're darn near guaranteed ways to make money. And you even if you just put your money in bonds or mutual or money markets or whatever, you're still going to grow what you have. Second of all, though, they say, remember that you have a lot of people getting income tax refunds right now, and that is keeping the spending industry afloat. And at some point, that is going to die off, and you're not going to see quite as much of that going on. And then the third thing people say is, we see more and more credit being issued in this country right now. So those three things all together kind of tell you why spending is continuing higher, even though you might say, I'm not sure how this is happening when everybody's so negative about things. And also, I would just say with polling, yes, there are a lot of people. I mean, we all think we're spending too much on things, but depending on who you poll and where you poll, that could give you some different readings on sentiment. So you just have to remember that every poll is different. And are Americans as negative as we're being told? I don't know. I am skeptical of a lot of things I see with surveying and polling these days about attitudes of things, because they want you to feel like a certain way about Donald Trump. The CNBC certainly is that way. I would say that if you take a look, too, at some of the reporting today, like I was on a couple of websites earlier, and even this conversation today, talking about Trump derangement syndrome, about the dinner with Xi over in China. And Xi says, well, first of all, Trump is your friend, Mr. Xi Jinping. We have a lot of respect for you, blah, blah, blah. Trump obviously playing the game to try to get on his good side. And meanwhile, Xi doesn't really seem to care about getting on Donald's good side and just says, yeah, don't screw around with us with Taiwan. And like, oh, okay, so there's your turd in the punch bowl, I guess you could say, at the party of the Chinese president basically saying, yeah, just so you know, we've got plans for Taiwan, and you don't want to get in the middle of all that. Well, that's being played up as, well, there's two leaders in China. One of them's tough, and the other is just falling all over himself because he doesn't have enough self-respect or doesn't love our country and is just talking nice about Xi, and Xi's a bad guy or whatever. So you're seeing a lot of that. So when you see polls that say people are feeling negative about things around them, those are the polls I tend not to pay much attention to because it's too easy to have an agenda. Maybe they don't, but it's too easy to have one. And so I kind of just skip right on past that. So there we go on that. Okay. Time for best thing I heard all day, and I'm going to have to move this one back a little bit too, because we got a break coming up. I want to make sure that we give this one time to breathe, so we'll talk about that here coming up momentarily. I did have a couple other things I had put in the show stack for today. Have you been paying attention to what's happening with Morehead High School football? A little bit of a detour from the normal tracker on the Steve Alstrom Show. I get it. But yesterday, Zach Walker announced his commitment to play football for the University of Minnesota, Golden Gophers. Now, this normally would be a pretty big story, a local kid getting a chance to play in the Big Ten. But Zach is not the only kid from Morehead High going to play for the Gophers. In fact, there are four of them in one class. They'll be seniors next year. Jet Feeney, the quarterback, Kevin Feeney, the coach's son, Tay Rich, the fantastic running back, David Mack, the phenomenal receiver, and now Zach Walker, who it looks like is going to play defensive back there. For one high school team to have four kids offered and a commitment, first to get offered by a high major school, nobody can remember that ever happening. In Minnesota, with all the great sports traditions in Twin Cities, but four kids. They've got a special bunch over there. A little pressure for Coach Feeney, by the way, to win it all this year. But those kids are ridiculously talented, and all four of them are going down there. It's a lot of fun for me being a Gopher football fan. More next. That time of year, you might be thinking about buying or selling your home. Well, please call our friend Dan at James Patrick Real Estate before you sign any contracts. Dan's team has been doing this for a long time. They've closed a ton of listings, and he charges less than most other agents. His clients love the system they've built, and you will too. Go to jamespatrickrealestate.com to learn more. It'll be worth your time. That's jamespatrickrealestate.com. From the text line, Steve, are sales up because Americans are buying more, or are sales up because things cost more? Yeah, no question there's a part of that that is inflationary based on what we saw with the CPI and both producer price index, both the core and the actual. But remember that a lot of the products on the shelf have been in transit for a while, and working through the supply chain takes some time, so it doesn't account for all of it for sure. I don't know, maybe a half. Maybe a third to a half is a product of inflation. But even without that, you would still have a solid growth in just the number of products being bought or the amount of purchasing being done. But fair point on that. And yes, we have to consider that with all these stories that we have these days going on with purchases. Let's go to the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line before I get to best thing I heard all day. Crystal in Fargo wants to chime in on Taiwan. Good morning, Crystal.
Yeah, hey there, Steve. I've been watching CBS like you are, you know, giving that network a chance with Tony DeCopley. And ironically, he was not able to get a visa to go in to cover China, so he is based right now in Taiwan. And it's been very interesting to see his reports and his interaction with the people of Taiwan, which is a self-governing country separate from China, which is communist. And the people of Taiwan do not want to be taken over by the communist regime. So that in itself is very interesting. And then to see the thriving chip industry going on in Taiwan. So Tony DeCopley has been doing these extra portions that would not have been discussed if he'd be in China.
Yeah.
That Weijia Zhang from CBS, she's taking care of that. But what's also interesting is to see the powerhouse CEOs, you know, Apple, NVIDIA, Boeing, all these representatives of these companies that are looking at making stronger relationships and trade with China,
mm-hmm.
and looking at how those relationships can continue. It kind of reminds me when I was a little kid when President Nixon and his wife Pat in the 1970s went to China. And that's when Pat was very gracious with Cho and Lai and talking about pandas. And that's how the pandas got to the National Zoo in Washington, D.C.
So okay, there you go.
Different relationships.
Yep.
But I wanted to bring that to you with Tony
over
DeColi
the years.
And
yeah.
CBS and,
thank
yeah.
you. Thanks, Crystal. Yeah, there's probably not been a lot discussed about that on this show, but yeah, there's like 14 different CEOs that were that are on that trip as well, and it's some of the biggest brands in the business. And I've thought to myself, like, wow, that's a lot of influence on one airplane. You just start thinking about risk mitigation there, and if that plane went down, that would be a very bad thing. So, but Crystal's right. A lot of business being talked about there. Okay, best thing I heard all day. So I like to bring to you stories along the way that that we shouldn't forget about. And I did it earlier today with just the focus on fraud. But there are people in Congress who are bound and determined that we will never forget about what happened during COVID. And what we now know was not just people doing their best to try to look out for Americans, but that had ulterior motives. And yesterday, Rand Paul convened a meeting of the Senate Homeland Security Committee. And they invited someone who is now willing to speak out. And this takes some guts to do, by the way, to be a CIA whistleblower, testifying before the Senate panel that Dr. Anthony Fauci improperly influenced intelligence briefs about the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic to downplay findings that it most likely resulted from a lab accident in China. This is one of the big stories. How did this all happen? Was it man-made? Was it natural? Whatever. His name is James Erdman. He is a special operations officer, and he delivered his testimony about what he calls a wide-ranging cover-up after being subpoenaed by the Senate Homeland Security Committee and against his own agency's wishes. And this is what this sounded like. This is about 2 minutes, and I think you'll find it very interesting.
Thank you for the complimentary introduction. And I appreciate the committee's dedication to transparency and accountability. I am a career CIA operations officer, and as you mentioned, I was on joint duty assignment at the Office of Director National Intelligence Directors Initiatives Group, or the DIG, between March 2025 and April 2026. I was responsible for leading the DIG's investigation into COVID origins, anomalous health incidents, and unidentified anomalous phenomena. I'm here today to discuss the COVID cover-up, the national security implications associated with the DIG's investigative findings, and CIA refusal to comply with lawful oversight, as well as how we remedy these problems. Intelligence community leaders and senior analysts downplayed the possibility that the COVID pandemic originated as a result of a lab incident. Motives are difficult to define given the scope of the DIG's review. Intentional or not, the IC's actions resulted in a cover-up, wasted resources, and a failure to properly inform policymakers. Public health policy would have been very different had the American public been made aware that a virus from a lab in China was going to serve as the foundation for an emergency use authorization mRNA products being mandated by the former administration. Dr. Fauci's role in the cover-up was intentional. Dr. Fauci influenced the analytical process and findings by leveraging his position to ensure the IC consulted with a conflicted list of curated subject matter experts, public health officials, and scientists. This included some of the authors of the paper, The Proximal Origin of SARS-CoV-2, and other public health experts who have been in his orbit for the last 20-plus years.
Yeah, and then he went on to lay out specifics about all of those things, but that first 2 minutes, first of all, he comes out in the first 15 seconds, says, I'm here today to discuss the COVID cover-up, and then goes into all of this. And he went on to give information about basically reports that were written, and Fauci had them scrubbed the day before they were supposed to go out to committees or to, you know, fact-finding agencies or oversight committees and things like that. So there was a the cover-up on this, to me, isn't quite what it was on the vaccines. But this, no question, people said, no, this is a naturally occurring thing. This is not because they didn't want it to go back to funding of the lab that the U.S. had participated in. And so they tried to make it seem like this was just something that, you know, bats or whatever were passing along. But when you've got someone who's willing to lie and cover up on that, you just say, well, what else is out there? And so they are getting to the bottom of it. Again, until we see Tony Fauci in handcuffs or charges filed, they're going to do the same thing next time there's some flesh-eating virus or whatever, and someone wants to have an agenda for this. For whatever reason it might be, you're going to see this over and over again. But we're hearing things being said, and again, would we be hearing any of this if this was a Democrat-controlled Senate or House? We absolutely wouldn't. So glad that these things are happening. All right, let's hit a couple of text messages while we have a minute here. Steve, yeah, because the Gophers are bad. Okay, so we're going to rip these four Moorhead kids for going to Minnesota because they have a bad team. Let me just give you the record of the Minnesota football team over the last 5 years. 9-4, 9-4, 6-7. That wasn't a great year. 8-5, 8-5. So 4 out of 5 years with 8 or 9 wins. And in those last 5 years, they won their 5-0 in bowl games. So I'm sorry, that doesn't work because the facts don't support you on that. Don't rip on my Gophers. Come on, man. Okay, let's do this here, too. Do we have a minute to do this? We have a minute to do this. Steve, I didn't hear your AI discussion from yesterday, so I apologize in advance if this is redundant. The way you characterize this technology as another chapter is not the way that the CEOs like Elon Musk, Jensen Huang, etc. describe it. Microsoft never refused to release an operating system because it was too dangerous, like Anthropic did with Mythos, for just one example. All these leaders have discussed the potential for social dysfunction and governmental roles in offering universal basic income as a result. Some have openly touted this technology as godlike. My question is, and I don't mean to be glib here, what do you know or believe that the creators of this do not? Okay, fair stuff there. The Anthropic thing, to me, is more about marketing, because Anthropic is not the only one that's coming up with the next level of AI product. All the others are going to come out with theirs too. Google is going to come out with theirs. You're going to see Oracle and the ChatGPT folks. They're all going to come out with something like this. And so to me, I think this was more of a, wow, our product is so powerful that we're worried about it being released. If you think that a capitalist corporation is going to not release a product that will make them money because they're concerned about the social impact of something that is going to happen anyway, no matter what you and I think about it, I think we'd be naive to believe that that is going to be happening there. Does this technology feel different? Yes, 100% it does, because it's people talking to you, basically, that aren't real people, and it has potential to do things that technology hasn't had the potential to do before, but we've seen this for the rest of our lives. I guess it all comes down to, in the end, if you believe that artificial intelligence will kill us all, then you need to move to the more remote regions of Greenland, or maybe somewhere in remote Montana, and just live in a bunker and wait for the rest of the world to come to an end. But those of us that run businesses don't have the luxury of doing that. And so this is a natural advancement of technology that, yes, I get it. We've kind of clicked something where it's got a lot of power and force behind it. Is it worth it having conversations about how we do this responsibly? Yes. But we cannot crawl backwards into yesterday. More next.
If you're sniffing around PetroServe USA looking for lunch, you've made a good call. They've got some fantastic lunch specials today. Here we go. Valley City's got the French dip sandwiches. You can also get those at Wahpeton today. Tater Tot Hot Dish available to all at Harwood and West Main Avenue. 12th Avenue Hot Beef Sandwich, 205 NP Avenue Pulled Pork Sandwich. In Yulin today, scallop potatoes and ham or mac and beef. 45th Street Store in Fargo, chicken fried steak. You can get the hot beef sandwich in Castleton today. In Glendon, chip beef. And you can get spicy sausage mac and cheese at the Cheyenne store. PetroServe USA, helping America feel better. Every one of those I love. There's like no quinoa salads in here. Stuff is going to get you full. And I love that. I hate eating. That's why I can't hardly ever have salads as a meal. Unless you just load it like three chicken breasts or whatever. Because I'm hungry a half hour later and I get done eating. I feel like I haven't really eaten anything. What good did this do? You won't have to worry about that at PetroServe USA. All right. I have to get this in because I've been meaning to get to this for a couple of days here. And I have to say this because this just, it infuriates me. I'm trying to be the happy warrior, but I have to admit, I get angry. So language warning here for you. I have to use some language that will make you cringe. If you got young kids in the car, you might want to flip over to listen to Ronnie and Janae on WDAY. But I've got to do this because we need to understand what we're dealing with here. Alpha News has gone to the city's church. And they have been there on Sunday mornings when this group of agitators continues to show up every week, and they are harassing people to go to the city's church every Sunday morning because they have the audacity to have somebody, a pastor on their staff who works for Immigration's Customs Enforcement. And I'm just going to read the story for you from Alpha News. Protesters continue to plague city's church every Sunday morning, and when one was asked why they were there with dildos, she replied, "Well, don't bring your children here." The woman who is dressed up in all rainbow gear, who's just a crabby old looking woman, the woman said to them, "Why the pedophiles?" She said. The woman has a vest on covered in LGBT pins, and she says, "Because pedophilia involves penises. Maybe you don't understand pedophilia." The church member asked again why she would do this when children are there. "Because I think you shouldn't bring your children here. How disgusting," said the woman. So what we have here is a woman, and I don't know why they bring sex toys to a church. I think they're saying that Donald Trump is a pedophile, so because of that, somehow the church is supposed to feel like they shouldn't go to church. I don't know. But she, in her words, says, "How disgusting," when she is yelling at these people with her signs that are just vulgar, with sex toys in both hands. The woman said, "Don't bring your children here if you don't want them to see this. There might be dildos, and we wouldn't want them to know what dildos are. We got to keep it a secret until they get raped." You guys, I don't know if I have seen a more blatant example of why this is turning into good versus evil. I'm not saying that everyone who dislikes Donald Trump is what that woman is.
But their whole movement is full of this. I've said before, it's not so much in my mind even anymore that these are liberal people or wacko or communist. They're just gross. These people are gross, and they have no decency. And this is a zero-sum game for them, and they will do anything and everything possible to harass you and try to discourage you from apparently going to church. So this woman is sitting outside talking about the most vulgar things here. And there's a video on Alpha News' website, too. If you really have a tough stomach, you can try to watch that. And they bring out these vile sexual things. And Tim Walz goes jogging by there and gives them high fives, by the way, if you didn't know that, too. That happens as well. The pastor of City's Church, Jonathan Parnell, says, quote, by their own admissions, these agitators are deliberately targeting children and families. It's a coordinated effort to desecrate our Sunday mornings. Here's my question. Why can you not arrest these people for harassment? Maybe the judge is going to let them off in 5 minutes anyway. I don't know. But where's law enforcement here? And, you know, Harmeet Dhillon and Kash Patel, can you send somebody in there so these people can go to church in peace? I think they're just trying to get people not to go to church because they realize that, well, whatever. I won't get into that. They realize how pathetic their life is, and they don't want people to have joy. So they do this. We need to keep praying for that church for sure. Because it's more of a good versus evil battle every single day. Have a great day, my friend, and keep on flying that flag.